The theme this month is on how God reveals himself through fire in the scripture. And tonight's message is Moses and the burning bush. So we're going to talk about a little bit of the background of the Israelites here in Exodus chapter 1. Now remember, Joseph in Genesis was second in command to Pharaoh. He was a powerful man. And we're going to pick it up here tonight in Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. So the Israelites were being oppressed by the Egyptians. And then you can turn to Exodus chapter 2 in verses 1 through 10, and it talks about the birth of Moses. God was raising Moses up to deliver, to rescue the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. And in verse 10, it says that Moses became the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 10 of Exodus chapter 2. So we're going to go now to Exodus 2:11 and read from 11 to verse 25. This is just some background. "One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, 'Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?' Now, Stephen speaking to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, verses 23 and 24 estimates that when Moses killed this Egyptian, he was about 40 years old. Verse 14 of Exodus chapter 2, "The man said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you kill the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and thought, 'What I did must have become known.'" Verse 15, "When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered the flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, 'Why have you returned so early today?' They answered, 'An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock.' 'And where is he?' he asked his daughters. 'Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat.' Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, 'I have become an alien in a foreign land.' During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them." This is the key scripture passage we're reading tonight. Exodus 3, verses 1 through 10. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God." And as Stephen is speaking again to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 7, verse 30, he estimates that from the time that Moses left Midian to the time he saw the burning bush at Horeb, the mountain of God, about 40 years had passed. So when Moses has this burning bush experience, he's about 80 years old. Verse 2 of Exodus chapter 3. "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush." Let me repeat that. "There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. And I am concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Let me read verse 10 of Exodus 3 again. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. This was the work that God had for Moses, to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses was about to step into his destiny, the plan that God had for his life, to be a rescuer, to be a deliverer of his people, the Israelites, from Egyptian oppression. Moses was about to step into the plan and the purpose that God had for his life. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got a plan for your life. God has got a work for you to do in advancing his kingdom here on this earth. I'm here to tell you tonight that you are not on this earth by accident. You are not a mistake. You have a God-given divine destiny and purpose. God has a plan and purpose for your life. He has a part for you to play in advancing his kingdom on this earth, like he had a part for Moses to play in the Old Testament. He's got something special for you. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight.
God
has got
a
special part
for
me to play
in
advancing
his kingdom
here on this earth.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll say it again. I just said it a moment ago. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You're not here to take up space. You're not a spare part. You have a special thing to do to advance the kingdom of God here on this earth. Don't let anyone or anything tell you any differently. God loves you so much, and he's got a great plan for your life. Now, what can we observe for our lives personally from Exodus 3 verses 1 through 10 in order to step into what God has for us individually in advancing his kingdom on this earth? Exodus 3, verses 1 through 10, number 1. From Exodus 3, verses 2 and 3, it says this. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. Though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. I want to concentrate on the angel of the Lord who appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. The angel of the Lord. There are a number of theologians that believe, in context, that the angel of the Lord was a temporary appearing, a temporary manifestation of God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ himself. Moses got a glimpse of the second person of the Trinity, is what a lot of theologians believe. For a moment in time, temporarily, the angel of the Lord, Jesus, appeared to Moses. He appeared to Moses. His life would never be the same. His life would change for the better. He was on course for walking into God's plan as deliverer for the Israelites. He had a life-changing encounter with God. Perhaps it was God the Son here, as we talked about, the angel that he saw from within the bush, the angel of the Lord. He could have seen Jesus. It's very possible. Many believe this, temporarily. And so my question to you is this here tonight. Have you had a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Have you had a life-changing encounter with Jesus like Moses had a life-changing encounter with God at Horeb, the mountain of God, where he saw an angel of the Lord in flames of fire within a bush that was not consumed? Have you had a life-changing encounter with God the Son, Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking tonight about you saying, well, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, so I'm a Christian. Or, you know, I went to church every Sunday as a kid, so I'm a Christian. Or 10 years ago, I said a real quick prayer, Jesus be my Savior, and so I'm a Christian. Friends, that's nominal Christianity. Nominal Christianity means that you call yourself a Christian. You put the word Christian to yourself, the name Christian. That's nominal Christianity. I'm talking about true Christianity, true discipleship, having Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. I'm talking about true Christianity, true following of Jesus tonight. Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Does Jesus sit on the throne of your heart? Are you submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ in every part of your existence? Amen. You might have been raised in a Christian home. You might have gone to church every Sunday, but that doesn't make you a Christian. That's nominal Christianity. Christianity by name only. Tonight we're talking about, I'm talking about true Christianity. Who sits on the throne of your heart? Is it you or is it Jesus? If you're sitting on the throne of your heart, you've got to move off and you've got to put Jesus on the throne of your heart. Is that good news here tonight? Have you truly met Jesus? Have you truly met Jesus? Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. He wants to be Savior and Lord, ruler, controller over every part of your existence. Are you submitting on a daily basis every part of your being to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Once you meet Jesus and He rules your life, you will change for the better. You will start stepping into His call for your life. Do you want to do something significant in this world for the kingdom of God? The first step is to have a life-changing encounter with Jesus, which is making Him Savior and Lord. And if Jesus rules and reigns on the throne of your heart, the love of God will so indwell you that you will want to do what is pleasing to God through your life. You'll want to share the gospel with others, one-on-one, under the bridges, on the streets of Tulsa. You will want to spend time with the lonely. You'll want to give words of encouragement to somebody who's always had bad words spoken over them. God can use you to advance the kingdom of God here on this earth and show His love to those who are needier than you. You can volunteer at the mission. You have a special part to play in advancing the kingdom of God. Remember, Moses had a life-changing encounter with the angel of the Lord in flames of fire within a bush that was not consumed at Horeb, the mountain of God. How many here tonight want that life-changing encounter with Jesus? You can have it. If you've never met Jesus, later on at the end of the service, you'll be able to accept Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you met Jesus at one point, and maybe you got upset with God, and maybe you slipped away. Tonight you can re-give your life to Him. You need to truly meet Jesus and submit to His lordship. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart. Second thing we want to observe tonight about in Exodus 3, verses 1 through 10, to fulfill the part that you have in advancing the kingdom of God. Exodus 3, verses 4 through 5. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." "Moses, Moses," God cries to him. And Moses says to God, "Here I am. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." God is speaking to Moses and calls him by name twice. The God who created the universe, the God who created the world and everything in it, is personally having a conversation with Moses. And as you read beyond verse 10 of Exodus chapter 3, you see that there's an ongoing conversation between God and Moses. And God can call your name personally. God wants to talk to you personally like you talk with your best friend. The God who created the universe and the world and everything in it wants to converse with you personally like you converse with your best friend. Isn't that amazing? God wants fellowship with you. God wants communion with you. And so tonight, friend, listen to this. To step into what God has for you to do, your spiritual ears have got to be open to hearing God's voice like Moses was hearing God's voice in Exodus chapter 3 and beyond. Jesus said his sheep will listen to his voice, John 10, verse 16. Are your spiritual ears open to listening to what God has for you? Moses' ears were open. He heard the audible voice of God. Your spiritual ears have to be open today to hear what God has for you personally and specifically. You may have a good idea. Now listen to this. You may have a good idea of what you should be doing with your life to help advance the kingdom of God. But the God idea for your life comes by hearing his voice. You may have a good idea that you come up with in your own mind. But the God idea, the best idea, God's plan for your life comes by hearing the voice of God in your life. I'm going to read you an illustration here from the Speaker's Quote Book. And it says this. By E. Stanley Jones. If I throw out a boat hook from a boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Is that good? Amen. So prayer is conversation with God. You might be wondering, God, what do I do with my life? This is what prayer is. It's just talking with God, communing with God, and asking God a question and having God respond to you. God, what do I do with my life? Do I stay in this city or do I move from this city? Do I stay at this shelter or do I move to another shelter? Do I go down this educational path or not? God wants to speak to you. If you follow your own mind, you might be doing a good thing. But how many here tonight want to do the God thing with their life? Taking the best course of action with your life that God has for you to fulfill your part in the kingdom of God. Then your spiritual ears have got to be open to listening to what God is telling you to do. Just like Moses' ears were open to hearing the voice of God. If you read beyond verse 10 of Exodus chapter 3, he has this conversation with God. He's going back and forth. Exodus chapter 3, 4. Just read Exodus here in the next month if you have a chance. It's phenomenal. He has this conversation with God. And basically, Moses was in prayer with God. He was conversing with God, talking with God. And you can do the same. The God who created the universe wants to personally converse and talk with you. Amen?
Amen.
So how does God speak? To close off the message. How will God speak to you concerning the part he has for you to play in advancing his kingdom here on this earth? How will God speak to you? Many times, God will speak to you through his written word. Written word. Psalm 119 is all about the law, the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Simple scripture, but it's powerful. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The word of God makes the dark areas of your life full of light and clear. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
So you may be going through a dark time in your life tonight. Man, what do I do with my life? God, what do you have for me to do with my life on this earth to help advance your kingdom? kingdom. Start getting into the written word of God, the Bible. Start reading it. Start reading it. Meditate on it. Think about what you're reading. And I would encourage you to start studying the life and the ministry of Jesus and just imitating Jesus because he's your Lord and your Savior. If you start studying the life and the ministry of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read it and you think about it and you meditate upon it, the love of God will just grow up within your heart. And you'll want to start doing what Jesus did when he walked this earth. And through studying the life and the ministry of Jesus, God might speak to you and say, I want you to teach the Word of God one-on-one or to groups of people. I want you to pray for those who are sick and see them healed. God will speak to you through his written word. God will let you know that you've got to be a servant in the kingdom of God. Matthew 20, verse 26. There's so many things God can speak to you through his written word. But in order to get guidance from God's written word, you've got to be in the word of God. Not once in a blue moon. Not once just at Easter or at Christmas, twice a year. You need to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. Is that making sense here tonight? Consistently. Reading a few scriptures a day. Maybe reading a chapter out of the Bible a day. Reading a couple of chapters and thinking about what you read and letting God speak to you through His written Word. Amen? Amen? The second way that God can speak through you, and the final way we're talking about tonight, is through his peace, through the peace of God. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 15. He writes to the Colossians, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Let the peace of Christ, literally, sit as umpire to make the calls in your life, to rule and govern in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ sit as umpire in your life, making the calls of your life. Let the peace of Christ rule and govern in your hearts. Are you fearful tonight? Are you worried about what God has for you to do? Or what you're about, or what you should be doing next? Are you fearful? Are you worried? Are you confused? Start talking to God. Have a conversation with God like Moses did. That's what prayer is. Prayer is a conversation with God. You speak to God and God responds back through his written word, through his peace in your heart. God will let you know. As I talked about just a few moments ago, you might be thinking tonight, man, should I stay in this city in Tulsa, or should I move to Oklahoma City? And if it's God's will for you to move out of city, he'll give you his peace. It will rule and govern your heart. And if you get that peace on the inside when you think about making that move, that's most likely God telling you to make that move. Or maybe you're thinking, man, should I stay at the church I'm at, or should I go to a different church? And you may be in a church service and you get the peace of God, and God is saying, stay right here. This is where I want you for the time being. You've got to let the peace of Christ rule and govern in your heart. If you have no peace about a course of action on the inside, that very likely could be God telling you not to take that course. Follow the peace of God. Let it rule in your hearts. Let it sit as umpire in your life, in your heart. Amen.